topics. Yeah, just how many people you can throw at a LAMP server. Going to go through the performance of LAMP 2.2, the previous version. How we did the testing, like the tools we use, and the changes we did in 2.3. LAMP 2.3 was released May or March this year, and the performance results are based from those changes. Okay, so LAMP 2.2 is my really dodgy diagram. It's your LAMP's core on the left, which is the core, and the other ones on the other side are tools, learning, monitoring. Technically speaking, they're all separate web apps in the back end. And you can see inside each one is a circle, the DAO, which is a data access object. And in LAMP 2.2, each module had its own individual data access object. That'll come. Sorry, I don't know how I did that. Yeah, that'll come into play later on, the data access object. It was one of the optimizations we did in relation to that. And you've got the database, which is a separate entity. So that's a basic architecture of LAMP 2.2. Okay, so talking about how we measure the scalability of LAMP 2.2, we have a tool in the LAMP team that we call a test harness. It's a general term, test harness. Basically, it's a client program that we can push in some settings, for example, number of users, average number of seconds between clicks for each link on a page. And we have specific modules for each tool. So in the test harness, we have a little module for the forum tool, for the question answer tool. And what it does is when you set the test harness in motion, it starts hitting the LAMP server and say, you start a LAMP session with a form and a question and answer tool. And the test harness will simulate that certain number of users clicking and doing stuff in those tools. So in that way, we can simulate as realistically as we can the number of users using LAMPs.
May I ask questions as we go?
Yeah, yeah. By all means, go.
So on the test harness, what I'm interested in is when 350 students click on a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you measure that?
First of all, it wouldn't happen simultaneously. The
well,
test harness would space it out.
It could.
It could, true.
It could.
Remember,
the university has large numbers, right?
Yeah. We could set the test harness to do it that way. If we set the amount of time between clicks to be a certain number of seconds and then set them all to go, it'll do the clicks all at the same time, and that would represent that. If you really wanted to test it that way, we could run a test that way if they all click at the same time, exactly the same.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, we're all sitting here, right? There it is, go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's conceivable that, you know, that could happen.
That's most likely. That's the most likely time when they'll all click on the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
That's true.
As opposed to after they get in the sequence, it's that first boom. And I've actually had situations, I hope this is helpful, but.
Yeah, no, actually.
I've had situations where 25 in a school, they all click on the sequence, fine. Then they go to the to do the MCQ or whatever,
uh-huh.
And then everything just slows down to a crawl.
There was an
and
issue with
kills
MCQ.
I picked the wrong tool.
MCQ had a performance problem in 2.2. That was a while ago, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you ask Gany, he'll say, use the assessment tool. It's much better.
No, the assessment tool.
Sorry.
Cover feedback on the assessment tool is what my folks is keep it simple. These are university professors. Keep it simple.
There's actually a graph I have later on that shows a live performance monitoring of a server where they all started at approximately the same time, and you can see the.
How many are starting?
Well, they told me the class, it was a class in China, so I never actually see the students, but they told us it was a 200-user class. But yeah, we'll see a graph of how the server handled that later.
This is really crucial. I don't know if really crucial to me that when I, because I have potential for thousands,
yeah.
okay, and at least 400 hitting at the same time, and I have to be able to say it's going to be all right.
Test harness, the tool would be the way to test that out, see how it handles, how the LAMP server handles
that. Can my guys take the, get the test harness tool and do that?
Yes, it's a tool. There's a bit of documentation on our wiki, and it's open for download. It's not the easiest bit. It's not, say, it doesn't come with an installer like the main LAMPS executable, but the source code is the same on our CVS server. It's the same as the source code that is the same code that we use to do our testing. And there's actually, we have our example sequences that we use for testing included in the repository there. But if you wanted to make a real test, you'd probably make your own sequences and.
So you've got to think of, you have to think of it this way. There could be a business continuity issue with, let's say, H1N1. And our university is shut down.
Uh-huh.
We're not, I mean, 400 users hitting at any given time is going to be just peanuts. Right? Because all instructors are going to have to deliver their courses online. Now, we have Blackboard, we could scale, it's 200, we got 20 servers, so we could probably do about 4,000, right? Well, I can't guarantee that those 4,000 coming into Blackboard, who could at the same time be hitting a LAMP sequence, because everybody's going to be going, what do you got?
Yeah.
That's. I don't know if that's going to help. I mean, I have a feeling that it'll crash.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, we don't know for certain. That's the thing. And the answer to that would be to take the test harness or any other tool that would, because there are possibly other tools that we don't know about, which might be better in this case. But the key thing is to take that test harness and hit it with keep ramping up the number of users and see how your setup handles that, and yeah, proceed that way. That's a good thing about the test harness. You can scale it up depending on how much hardware you've got. If you've got separate computers, that'll simulate better rather than putting it all on one computer. Bad thing is we don't have support for all the LAMPS tools, so when we're hitting it, we're only hitting some certain tools like the forum, notice board, I think Q&A, and it doesn't test none of their aspects. So you've got LAMPS admin, say some admin.
What about the video recorder?
Video recorder?
That's
not
that's one of
those
recorder tools,
I mean, again.
That's what I mean by.
I told Ernie. This is, you know, this will put you over the top or kill you if it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, it's
where
not
is
one
he
of those.
Argentina.
He's in a conference in Argentina.
He knew you were coming.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He'll be back. I'm not sure when. Near that, in a few weeks, I guess.
The test harness doesn't test that, right?
No, it's expandable, so you could write a module for video for the video recording tool, but difficulty there is the recording bit. I guess that's not so important because that's during authoring, but during learning, it wouldn't be so difficult because during learning, you're just retrieving those links.
It'll
play
take
the video.
200 concurrent.
Yeah.
So
the test harness supports that. If you write the code that will hit the video recorder tool, you set the test harness in motion, and it'll simulate that number of users. You can ramp up the number of users, ramp it down, and the results will tell you how the server handles it. So in the case of the video recording tool, that wouldn't have any effect on the RED5 server, but it'd show you how your LAMP server handles it, because the videos will be copied to the LAMP site. So, test harness. These are some old results we had that we did during LAMPS 2.2. We used Amazon's cloud service thing, and we set up a LAMP server on that. You can see from the graph there are different setups we did with 2 JBoss nodes, 3 JBoss nodes, with a separate database. So this graph is the output of the test harness. It tells you the average response time that a user gets in when they click the link. So the test harness measures the time it takes for the server to return and complete whatever it requested. So in this case, if you have, say, 100 users, the response time is fairly okay, somewhere around 2 seconds. But if you go up to 200, 300, 400, you look at the blue bar, that's a single server, that's the standard server most people have. It's just like database, LAMs, and everything all on the same box. And it doesn't handle 400 at the same time. This is a Amazon, I can't remember which level it was, but it was a dual Xeon 2.3 gigahertz thing. So after about 300 users, it's not very nice to use, according to the test on us.
Okay. Yeah, you got big, big numbers, if I heard you correctly, which is great.
Well, for that one project, 69,000.
So, you're, I mean, 400.
Yeah.
But you got to say...
they're not all doing it at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
you know,
but you won't,
you
have, won't ever know that.
A handful, no, you don't know.
Right.
You could have, potentially, a handful of classes in a number of schools coming back after lunch around about 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And they've all gone, we've got to do this survey for this project, let's go and do it. I mean, you might have that happen.
Yeah.
That's on a single server.
Yeah.
Are you, what about load balancing?
Yeah, this doesn't. The blue line doesn't include load balancing. The yellow and green ones do. So you can see up for the higher numbers, the effect of a load balancer is beneficial, although not the best, not the same as a lower number of users. But it does increase the effectiveness of the whole thing. This is down to 2.2. It's old figures, and these. It depends. Yeah, this is probably within a window of say 2 or 3 minutes. This test ran. Maybe somewhere like a handful of minutes, and in a real life situation, those number of users may not have done such an intensive, you know, click everything kind of thing. Yeah, and for this case, the test harness was running on one instance. So the alternative is if you split those 100 or 200 users across multiple machines, it might hit it a bit faster because they've got separate resources to hit the server. But this is all. Only on one machine. This is the live server performance I was talking about earlier. It's a graph of the system resources during just before the start of a lesson, where the students started a lesson, and up until 2 hours later when the lesson completed. The blue line is a line graph of the CPU idleness. So it starts off with the CPU being 100% idle, not doing anything. And as they log in, I guess, 8:42 to the next 10, 20 minutes, they start logging in and doing those things, and the CPU starts going to work. But you can see during most of the lesson, it tapered off. And I guess that could be probably explained by the learners just sitting there reading the screen or doing whatever and clicking infrequently. And the same story goes for memory. From the server just started up, it calls on more memory, and what the JVM does, it doesn't let it go when it doesn't need it, so the system reports it as being straight for the rest of the lifetime of the server. The yellow one, MySQL connections to the database, it goes up, goes down, same story. Throughout the lesson, it doesn't really have much activity, so you've got activity happening, but spread out, so it's not hitting the server too much. But like you said, it's during the initial start of a class when, bam, you've got the activity is all here. This, I thought from memory, this test handled it pretty well. I mean, they didn't have any complaints from this particular run. On to LAMS 2.3, one of the changes we did was with one of the frameworks we used, Spring, and we reorganized some of the beans that we use in for the database access object. So again, Matt, if you think back to the previous diagram, we had a DAO for each web app, each tool, each for the LAMS core. What we did was, previously, each of those web apps had a session factory for themselves, which is a chunk of memory. It does its own thing, but it was kind of a replication. So in LAMS 2.3, they were merged into a single core session factory. And in effect, it started losing less memory, and also it improved some of the performance of the server. So those are the good things. The bad things was that in terms of development, the two pieces of code, tools and modules and core, were more tightly coupled. So you don't have that kind of separation. It's mainly a design thing. So from a user's point of view, you probably wouldn't notice anything. But from a tool developer point of view, they're more tightly closer linked than before. But I guess it was worth it for the performance improvements.
So let me just
see if I understand this. Prior to this spring bean thing, each activity had a session factory, and
yes.
Now you merge them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were previously sharing some, what do you call, core tables, and there was a Hibernate representation of those, which were being replicated for each tool. It was nice to have that each tool separate in its own little environment, so it couldn't touch the other things. But it was kind of a waste of memory and resources. This is another resource graph. Lots of different lines. The green one is the one we're interested in. This is a LAMP server, one of the ones we run at Melco. It's a single, one of your standard database running on the same thing, LAMPs running on the same box. The green line, if you look here, it starts off around here. Okay, so you can see at several points it drops. Those are times when we restarted the server. So like I said before, the JVM that LAMPs runs on doesn't release memory. It handles it internally. So from a system point of view, it looks like it's always increasing, but really it's handling just memory resources internally. But from a system point of view, it always goes up. So you can tell when a system is restarted when it goes down, and it starts from the base. Okay, so you can tell on July 1st, we upgraded from 2.2 to the first version of 2.3, and that was here, and memory was up here and went down here. The key thing is that if you compare the starting point, assuming all other applications on the server were equal, which they were, the starting point compared to the last restart is somewhere in the order of 250 megs lower than the starting point from the previous restart. So that's just a nice side effect of the memory usage decreased. And you can see the next one after next restart. Upgrade to 2.8. When it was next restarted September, there was another small drop when it dropped back, but it was the same. Because they were both at 2.30, so there was no major memory improvement from 2.31 to 2.32. There's probably a lot of other info that you could glean from those lines, but yeah. Another one of the changes we did was Hibernate upgrade and a database connector, the ConnectorJ upgrade to 5.0. The Hibernate upgrade didn't really have much effect on performance side of things, more on features and transaction support and that kind of thing. But the connector thing from the test that I know Ernie did himself was a really good improvement in response time. So he did a test. I don't know the full details of the test because I was away at the time, but his results here show that everything else being equal, just changing the piece of code that connects to the database from 3.1 to 5.0, you've got a response time for 300 users dropping from 4 seconds to 2 seconds, and from 400 users dropping from somewhere around 9 to 5. So it's about a 50% increase in response time. Now, I don't know the hardware aspects of the server used, so I don't know how comparable it is to the previous results, but it just shows that that particular change, the connector, was a really nice one. 2.4, not out yet, but major changes, an upgrade to JBoss 5, which should bring a whole lot of improvements. I heard it was a full-on change of kernel for the JBoss platform. If you want to go read more about it, there's a bug issue tracker link here. This is a graph of the results that Ernie ran earlier this year, just before it was released. So it's 10, we ran 10 test harnesses, so 10 separate machines hitting a LAMP server, which was running on a desktop. The desktop was a machine of a Core 2 Duo, 2.6 GHz, 2 GB RAM. And you can see more and more detail the results at the link there, but the main gist of it is in this graph. So 500 users, up to 600 users, you've got a response time of less than 1 second. Much less than 1 second, so that's pretty nice. But 700, 800, that's where it might be okay, but it starts stepping up. And that's probably where you'd have clustering or extra nodes, load balancing coming in. But this graph, while not directly comparable to the previous 2.2 graph because the hardware is slightly different, and also the number of test harnesses hitting it was spread across 10 machines rather than one. It's not directly comparable. But the initial results are pretty nice because less than 1 second is what you probably want in response time. And a single desktop can have 600 users in less than a second. There's other things you can do to tweak the performance of a server. You can, there's details in those things. But what the main things I think are, obviously you gotta increase the memory setting so it doesn't, you don't hit out of memory errors. That's just a peculiarity of the JVM. But along the lines of Apache, you can set Apache to serve the static content of a LAMP server, so you don't have JBoss serving all the JPEGs, GIFs, JavaScript files, all those static things. Apache really excels at that, so you can actually configure your setup to serve those things separately. It might not make much effect, it might not have much effect if you're having only a handful of users, but potentially in a large user environment, then it could come in handy, that kind of thing. And the next step from that would be clustering or load balancing. So there's two different levels you can do there. You can have a load balancer of some sort on the front end. You can use Apache with ModJK for that and have it set round robin style users who hit the LAMP URL to different JBoss nodes on the back end. So sharing the load across different nodes. On a different level, kind of different level, is clustering, where you can actually have those JBoss nodes sharing their cache memory details so that they know about each other before they hit the database, which is a step further back in the back end. But that, I think, is not so much of a performance improvement, rather a feature improvement. Say, if you want session replication, and if one node goes down and a user is on that, then they can seamlessly be transferred to another node. But that's just a feature rather than a performance improvement. So that's clustering as opposed to load balancing. Yeah, short. Oh, roughly short. Any questions? No? Cool.
No.
No.
Interesting.
No. I'm just trying to think of how to say this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, you know I'm a techie guy, right?
Yeah.
Ideally, if I have 20,000 users, potential, okay, how many servers should I be running?
I wouldn't stay to figure off the top of my head, but based on, okay, let's look at the graph.
Let's just guesstimate.
Okay, guesstimate.
Let me tell you what we have for Blackboard.
Okay.
Okay? We have 20 plus. So we have
cluster.
We have load balancing, and we have 20 servers, app servers. We have 2 database servers and 20 app servers. Okay, that's to support that.
20,000.
Maybe 30,000. Okay. Now, those same 30,000 people could potentially have access to LAMPs.
Potentially, yeah. It'd be a subset.
Right, a subset, but. We're building a model, blended learning model around that. So how many servers do I need? So that I don't sound stupid when I talk about it.
Initially, not that many. That's the same as Blackboard, but like I said, it's a subset. Going by this figure, okay, 600 for one single desktop. A desktop's not equal to a server, so say a server. Okay, we'll make it equal to a server just for simplicity.
Yeah,
600.
Make it equal.
Okay, 600. 1,000 goes to 7 seconds. 1,000 is not a nice figure. Make it 500, because that's easy to multiply. 20,000.
So 500 is a server, right? A desktop.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so...
Now let's take the figure, number of users. It wouldn't be 20,000. It would be a subset of that. And then after that, the peak number...
Yippee-yo.
be able to know that it's handling can do.
Yeah, to me that's a limitation, right? I would rather say everybody goes in. What I need is I need something to support 30,000. I don't need a chair. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, because that's what we have with Blackboard.
Yeah.
And that's what we have.
But with these figures, if you have this number of desktops, desktops are relatively cheap compared to what you need to do. So.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, 500. Well, it'll take one, right? 500 is one
desktop.
One desktop.
Of this caliber.
So 30,000, right?
60 desktops.
60 desktops. Well, yeah.
I don't think
you can have that.
61 for one for the guns.
Yeah. So let's be real, right? Okay. So we don't have that in Blackboard. We don't have a desktop doing it.
One
we
of,
have blade, sun blades.
Those are levels much more powerful. I mean, you could, if you have a single instance of the hardware that you know you're going to use, you could potentially do a test like this on one of those nodes and see how it
happens. Do you recall what we're using? I think we're using a SQL Server right now.
For Blackboard or for...
Yeah.
I don't know your Blackboard details.
I think we're
details.
Using Linux Server.
Linux for LAMS. You've got
for
a Red Hat server. Yeah.
Pardon?
For your LAMS server, I think it's a Red Hat
so
box.
Yeah, so how many of those do we need?
For those? I think that box is pretty big. I don't think your guys have run any test hunters tests against that box. It would be a good start to do that.
But you see, I don't want to go and say to them, you guys do that.
Yeah.
I want to have it in my mind before I even go there and talk to them, right? I want to have in my mind a number, right?
All right.
You know what I mean? Like I would say, how many servers have we got? We got one.
Yeah.
Right? We need 10 guys. Right? You know what I mean?
But you need some sort of...
Even if it's a subset, so 30,000 and I have 15. Or let's go somewhere, some other place. So where this, let's just talk hyperbole for a minute. What about the possibility of 50,000 users? Okay?
Depends.
50,000. Right? Using LAMPS.
Yes.
I need to understand whether that's possible.
Okay,
before
from a functional point of view,
there's a tool.
Yeah, I think there's a different discussion on how it might handle it from a usability point of view, not from the users, but from the server handling that kind of thing, like errors and logically speaking. Apart from performance could be fine. What you if you're hitting some sort of error to do with concurrency or multiple nodes that haven't been roughly tested before, that's a different issue. So that's something to be aware of if you're thinking of running a 50,000 user installation. But those things don't come out until you actually run the tests. And if you want to know how much hardware will be needed for a certain number of users, based on what hardware you have, then you need some sort of... Because we don't have a wide range of test results based on different CPU sets and different hard disks. And all that comes into play when you want to know how much is it. We've got roughly, look, our desktop can handle 600.
My tech guys come at me and they dismiss it by saying, yeah, LAMPS has never done any load balancing. They don't even know.
Yeah.
Right? And I can't argue.
We're actually doing, with a client in, LAMPS International and a client in Singapore, I think you may have talked to them recently.
Singapore Poly, right?
Yeah. They may be doing something similar, and one of LAMPS International's proposals for doing that is to run a test harness test against their setup to see the capability.
I promoted that system to go into Singapore Polytechnic, and I know they're going to have a whole lot more users than I have at NTU, because the whole school will do it, and it's a polytechnic, and once the school does it, everybody's going to be doing it. So you could have easily 4,000, 5,000 users regularly, okay? So, I don't think that our configuration would support that. That's my best guess.
Best answer to answer that would be to run a test. You have a test server, which is an excellent case to
run
it.
Simulated test is the best answer.
That's the only way we have.
Well, don't you have... Well,
that's the way things are done, I think. If you want
to... Well, before you start running the test, you have to decide what your architecture is going to be, right? And then you say, okay, I have this many users. I need to build this particular thing, right? And then I do a test. You don't, like, run a test on nothing. Am I missing the point? In other words, I tell you there's 30,000 users. What's the architecture going to be for this? How many servers do I need? Do I need load balancing?
That's where the testing comes in.
Well, no.
I think something we're not...
You can't test something until you got it up. Right?
I see what you mean. Yes, that's what I mean by... Okay, so you test a single instance. You've got, just say, for example, you've got your Red Hat server running your current LAMPS instance.
Right.
You know the hardware for that. And if you're potentially going to scale that up to...
And so you run the test harness until it dies, and then you know that the...
Until the LAMPS server goes up to that high section.
Right. And then you have an idea.
An idea of the number of users that a single instance can do. And then you can scale that up to, via load balancer, how many instances of that kind of hardware you'd want.
Right.